life in the face of death has value beyond measure. Life experience is the cost of living. Happiness is the stock that shall rise with your investment. Look in the mirror and find your diamond. You have been in the rough long enough. Don't let people offer the cost of rhinestones for your diamond. You have exponential, existential purpose. Know your worth. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marcus Jones, licensed psychotherapist, certified alcohol and drug counselor, certified anger management specialist. We're talking mental health. Let's have the conversation. So today we're going to re-switch transitions. I had to switch gears. Just from recent developments, we learned that DMX is currently on life support. As we stated earlier, prayers go out to his family. Prayers up for DMX. We're hoping DMX gets well. And the one thing that that has came out in the news and over social media was that this was an overdose. That has not been confirmed. However, we do know the situation. We do know that DMX was battling with addictive disease. Let me say this first before I get started. Some of the dopest people in the world are suffering from addictive disease. I had an uncle who was suffering from addictive disease, and you know, over a period of time and over a period of time of use, it starts to take effect on your physical health. But when I tell you, you know, my uncle, he could fix anything. He could do plumbing. He could do electrical work. He was an auto mechanic. He could do all of that. And yet he was battling with addictive disease. Some of the most awesome people that you know are suffering from addictive disease. And so what is addictive disease? Addictive disease is a sickness in where individuals have started abusing some sort of substance, whether it's alcohol or illicit drugs that they may use, and this use is continuous. And so what happens in addictive disease, they have activated certain pleasure responses in their brain when they use. And so they're chasing that feeling that they had. They're chasing that initial response that they had. And so individuals, when they suffer from addictive disease, they experience a lot of different things. And a lot of us, many of us ask questions as to, well, why are they still using, right? Why are they still engaging in this? And it's because they're making a choice to go and get it, which part of that is true. And we'll talk about that in just a second. That is partly true. There is a choice in the matter. But we'll talk about that in just a second. What I want to talk about first, though, is when you're going through this disease, it is very difficult. It is very difficult to manage. The one thing that we must understand is that this is a disease. And so for my Black community, my Black family, we got to understand one thing. And I know that, you know, the one thing that we have a difficult time doing is seeing this as a disease, because back in the 70s and the 80s, it was criminalized instead of prioritized as an illness. And so we seen loved ones going through it. And so those drugs, you know, and back in that time was the crack era. In that time in the crack era, you know, individuals were using, and it would grab hold of family members, loved ones, aunts, uncles, fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers. It started grabbing hold of family members. And so what was happening was we start seeing these changes. we start seeing them continue to get hooked, and we didn't understand what it was. And so instead of treating these individuals, they locked them in jail. And so now advancements in research have occurred, and now we've come to the realization that this is a disease. If you are suffering from addiction, I'm going to say what I said earlier again. Some of the dopest people have an addiction. Why am I saying that again? It's because we have this thing where we call, or individuals even call themselves, addicts. Your disease does not determine who you are. An addictive disease is like heart disease or cancer. You don't call yourself a heart disease. You don't call yourself a cancer. So why would you call yourself an addict? You are not defined by your disease. Think about individuals who have cancer, right? They're called, when they overcome it, they're called cancer survivors. Look to surviving. Don't define yourself by the disease. Now, going back into what we were going to hold off on earlier, when you talk about addictive disease, there is a choice in addictive disease, right? So we all have choices, but there's a piece of this that we're all missing. So genetically, you could be genetically predisposed to addiction. And so what that means is it could have been in different family members. It could have been in different, you know, it could have been down the line or down the chain of your family, your great grandfather, great grandmother, whoever may have suffered from addictive disease. But science has told us, and research has told us, that you could be predisposed to addictive disease. Biology can determine addictive disease. Plus, now you get to choice. So if you talk about heart disease, people are predisposed to heart disease through biology. And so if you are predisposed to biology, what that means is it's not inevitable that you're going to get the disease. What it means is that it brings you closer to the point of getting the disease. You are closer to actually getting that disease than everyone else, than other people. Okay? And so that's what that means. And so the biology just brings you closer. Now, let's stick with heart disease. Say if I was predisposed to heart disease and I chose to eat cheeseburgers, double cheeseburgers and fries every single day, then I am inevitably determining my prognosis for getting heart disease, right? Because I'm making a choice to go out and get it. And so it's the same way with addictive disease. You're genetically predisposed to it, and then when you start using it, it sneaks up on you. But this doesn't totally exonerate individuals who are not predisposed to addictive disease. They are not totally exonerated, because research has also shown that addictive disease, at the root of addictive disease, is anxiety. Researchers have found that a lot of individuals who have experienced addictive disease may have had a generalized anxiety disorder before they actually had the addiction. And so individuals who may be experiencing some sort of psychosis may use substances to self-medicate, which is a which is another precursor to addictive disease. And so I just want everybody to know and realize how serious addictive disease is. And so a lot of times we look at individuals, you know, and say, why do they keep making a choice to go out and do it? And yeah, you're right. Choice is a huge part of addictive disease, but you have to understand what they're going through, because it's the addiction part. It's the feeling that's attached to the use that puts them in that position. It puts them in that position to want to go back and use. So that's why there's different treatments and steps that are in place in order to help these individuals out. So they go into different phases, right? So you've got, when it comes to addictive disease, you know, there's different steps that individuals go through, or processes that they might go through. And it's a five-step process. So there's pre-contemplation, there's contemplation, there's action, there's maintenance. And so as those individuals go through, that process, right, we have to be of support. So if there's an individual that's going through that process, they may be at pre-contemplation. You may see a lot of individuals who are not going to get treatment. Those are typically the people who are in pre-contemplation are typically those individuals who, that's the person that's like, you know, well, I don't, there's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing going on. You know, just leave me alone. Just let me be, right? That's that individual. Then you might have the individual who is in contemplation, right? You have that person that's contemplating. They know that there's an issue there, right? They just haven't come to the point where they are ready to discuss that addiction. They haven't come to that point. So let's talk about the reason why a lot of individuals may not come to that point. So when it comes to addiction, it's you have to own. You have to own up to your actions in addiction. You have to admit. You have to admit in addiction that you're powerless. That's what addiction treatment requires. You have to admit to yourself that you are powerless. And so that's what a lot of us are. It's difficult to do that. It's difficult for us to admit defeat as human beings. And so imagine how difficult that is. Imagine how difficult that is for somebody who's suffering from addiction to admit that they're powerless. We don't want to, even individuals that are not suffering from addiction, right? Even individuals that are not suffering from addiction, it's hard for some of us, right, to admit that we're powerless to something. And so to have to admit that you're powerless is difficult to do. And so that's one of the first steps in the 12 steps. Like, you just first have to admit that you're powerless and you're at a point where you need help. And so even in the treatment, right, even in treatment, individuals may become sober. And so if you remember for a period of time, right, and again, I'm not speculating whether this was an overdose or not. However, I will say that after a period of time, we seen DMX, he was clean, and he was doing well. Things were going well for him. And so we seen it. And so, you know, when the news outlet first came back and said that he had overdosed, right, a lot of us was taken back, right? It's still not confirmed that he overdosed. The one thing that has been consistent is that he had a heart attack. Let's say that. But I'm just, if it was that, or if it was to that point where there was an overdose, if it was to that point where there was an overdose, I want you to come out of that thought pattern of blame or shame. I want you to come out of that thought pattern, because even though individuals get to the point where they become sober and now they're in what you call a maintenance phase, right? Even in that maintenance phase, people can still crave, especially when they're new in sobriety. I used to be over I was director over a inpatient addictions program, and the one thing that individuals had battled with was their cravings. And so you can tell when somebody was craving, because that's when they were to the point where they wanted to control their treatment. And so, you know, typically the steps to care was acute care, and then there's subacute care, which is typically like partial hospitalization, and then intensive outpatient treatment. And so, you know, we would work the trends. We would do this plan. We would do this discharge plan with these individuals. You know, maybe they had two or three days left on their detox protocol, and then they would break in the middle of the whole thing and speak with their therapist and say, "Hey, listen, look, I really got to get back to work. So what I was thinking is maybe I could just, you know, y'all could discharge me today, and then I could go see a therapist in the community, but I really got to get back to work." And so you can tell those individuals were in a position where they were craving. And why am I saying that? It's because they're now in a position where they want to attempt to control their treatment. Listen, if you are battling with addiction, it does not work if you're trying to control your treatment. You have to let the professionals help you. If you get in a position where you're trying to control your treatment, you've already lost in the first step, because the first step is you admitting that you're powerless. Always remember that first step. And I don't even have to go into the rest, but it will lead you, you know, and it'll help you get into the rest of the 12 steps. So it's important that individuals who are suffering from addiction, it's important that they have different factors, several factors in their treatment process. You have to work the process in reverse, because what happens when you use, right? There's the psychological portion, right? Then there comes the physical portion, the physical manifestation, because now your body is starting to respond to the drug. Your brain first responds to it, right? Because the chemical composition in your brain starts to adjust itself to the drug that you're using. And so then what happens is your body and your physical composition then starts to display that you're using. And so when individuals go to treatment, that treatment has to be worked in reverse. You have to address the physical part or your physical health first, and then you backtrack and you rotate back to the mental health portion. The process is worked in reverse. One of the most clear examples of this is alcohol use. And so individuals who have an alcohol addiction, one thing I would submit to you is that alcohol addiction is actually the withdrawal process of alcohol addiction is the most deadly out of any other drug. Alcohol withdrawal is the most deadly from any other drug. And so it's the clear example of working the process in reverse. You know, sometimes if you have somebody who has been drinking a large amount of alcohol and has been doing it consistently and daily, understand that withdrawal can come pretty fast immediately after they stop drinking. And so it's difficult to beat that addiction. It is very difficult to beat that addiction by yourself because the withdrawal is so dangerous. If you're suffering from that sort of addiction, it is important when you stop the drinking for you to go immediately to the nearest hospital, your nearest ER, or somewhere fast, because that withdrawal is very dangerous. You need to get help immediately. And so that's the example of working the process in reverse. You get that help immediately. And so now you're addressing the physical manifestation of it, right? Because you're in pain. And the withdrawal is getting to you. And now, you know, a lot of times, and I see this a lot of times because I've been in this field for close to 20 years. And so I've done mental health assessments. So I've worked in the ERs, you know, I've worked in intake departments, and I've seen these things happen to individuals where, you know, they're in pain and they feel it, you know, and they say, well, I need treatment and I need help. And then once that pain is over, once they've been treated, once they've subsided, you know, then, you know, their quest is to go discharge and go back home. Listen, what I'm telling you, if you are suffering from addiction, it is important that you get the treatment right behind it. It is very important that you get the treatment right behind it, because it is a life or death situation. When you talk about overdose, and we talk about overdose, so they're submitting to us, the news outlets are submitting to us that DMX may have overdosed and there was a heart attack. So to give you a bit of information on overdose can cause, certain overdoses can cause stroke or heart attacks or other manifestations like brain aneurysms. Overdoses can cause that. But it's an overdose. An overdose is when your body cannot react or produce enough to catch up with the amount of drug that you're using. So an individual who is to the point where they've built up what you call a tolerance, right, would have to binge quite a bit. An individual would have to binge quite a bit. But just to do a little break real quick, but this is one of the reasons why it's hard to believe the notion of George Floyd's death was due to drugs, because you've seen this healthy individual in the store. He didn't use anything from the store to the car. Just want to break that in real quick. That's one of the reasons why I don't even believe that narrative. That narrative had nothing to do with George Floyd's death. So I just wanted to bring that narrative in, because George Floyd did suffer from addictive disease. And so they're going to try to paint him as being a monster. No, he was an individual that was suffering from addictive disease. So I just wanted to get that clear. But to go back into what I was saying, so when you suffer from overdose is when your body composition cannot catch up to the amount of drug that you're using. And so when you binge use, because that's most of the time what happens, when individuals overdose or die from overdose, they binge use on a drug. And so it may be a binge of a lot of drugs. And so of a lot of that drug, or they're consuming a large amount of that drug, especially when they're at a level of tolerance. And so to even make that notion that DMX that DMX had actually overdosed is a strong notion. Could be true, you know, we don't know. It has not yet been confirmed. However, when you talk about overdosing, let's say he did overdose, I want you to come out of your mindset of judgment, because from somebody to go from being sober for a period of time to then going back to using, he may have been going through something. So the other piece of this, and I talked about it earlier, is self-medication. Some of us self-medicate. Now, I'm going to bring this to a very real, I'm going to hit home for some people, because some people, you know, may not have an addiction, but you may not notice what you're doing. Let's talk about self-medication in its simplest form. How many of you drink a glass of wine before you go to bed to help you go to sleep? That's called self-medication. Did you know that could be a precursor to addiction? How many of you all, when you're stressed out, go outside and smoke a cigarette? The only reason we're not having a conversation about tobacco addiction is because of its legalization. That's the only reason not many have brought tobacco addiction into the conversation. Is because it's been legalized. But tobacco addiction is real. Point being today, ladies and gentlemen, if you know somebody suffering from addiction, if you know somebody that's struggling from addiction, get them help, but give them support first, because you don't know where they are in the steps. Thank you for joining me today. Again, this is Holistic Partners Network. I am Marcus Jones, your host, licensed psychotherapist, certified alcohol and drug counselor, certified anger management specialist. We are talking mental health. Let's have the conversation.